Psalm 127 this morning, and I'd like you to turn to Psalm 127. A famous psalm, a well-known psalm, and for good reason, because there's a very important principle that comes out of this psalm that we need to apply to every area of our life. Father, as we turn our attention now to your word, I ask that you would bless the teaching, the preaching, the reading of your word. I pray that these words would come off the page, come into our lives, our hearts. They would sink deep, change us. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been said that little is much if God is in it. Little is much if God is in it. And that's certainly true. God can do much with little, and that's been proven over and over again. I mean, a little stick is not much of an impressive weapon or tool, but look what God did with a stick in the hands of Moses and Aaron in the Old Testament. You remember that day when they brought a few loaves and fish to Jesus, a little bit of stuff, a little bit of food, but he multiplied that and fed the multitudes. And then you remember that Jesus surrounded himself with 11 uneducated fishermen from Galilee. There was nothing impressive about them. They didn't have much to offer. But Jesus changed the world with those little men. Little is much if God is in it. But the opposite of that is true as well, and don't forget that. Much is little if God is not in it. Now, mankind can do some impressive things. We can accomplish some amazing feats that can gain admiration from everyone in the world, even. But if God is not in it, it's little. It's small. It doesn't even come close to measuring up to what it could be. The basic lesson for this psalm is that we are to be dependent upon God in every area of life. God is to be involved in every area of our lives. In fact, he should be the superintendent of every area in life. Only then will every area in your life be truly blessed. Look what we read in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Verse 1 mentions building. Building the house. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Now, this is probably specifically referring to the building of the temple in Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, the temple. Our postscript in this psalm says that this is a psalm of Solomon. Remember that Solomon was a master builder. He built many things, including the temple in Jerusalem, and so it could be speaking about that. Now, there are others that don't believe that Solomon actually wrote this psalm, but it was written in the style of Solomon. by an anonymous author after the Jews came back from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild their whole city and the temple. And so it is probable that this has something to do with building the temple, but we could certainly apply this to any building activity in our lives. And there are many times in life where we build, we pioneer, we start things. We could apply this to building an actual structure. Maybe you're having a house built right now. Or maybe a church is building new facilities. Maybe you have a building project in your backyard. Maybe you're building a commerce center. It could apply to that. It would also certainly apply to the building of a business. Maybe you're an entrepreneur. You have dreams. You want to start a business. You want to pioneer something. Or you're building your career. You're going to school. You're getting a skill. You're building that. You're putting that together. It could certainly apply to building a nation. In fact, the house of the Lord, the house of Israel in the Old Testament, oftentimes refers to the nation of Israel. This could be applied to building a community, building your house, building your physique. Maybe you're an athlete and you're training and you're in competition. This could refer to building a church, not a church building, but maybe planting a church, growing a church, nurturing a church. Maybe you're starting a brand new ministry, a children's ministry, a women's ministry, a homeless ministry, something you're building. There are any number of applications to this, whatever you might be building. And bottom line, whatever you build, unless your building activity is ordered and directed and empowered by the Lord, it's a waste of time and energy. It says very clearly, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The idea is you work so hard to build something, but if you're not doing it in dependence upon the Lord, the result of all that work, all that building, vanity, worthlessness, emptiness. Now again, the building enterprises of man might be very impressive from the human vantage point. I mean, we look at things and we go, wow, look at that estate. Wow, look at that Fortune 500 company. Wow, look at that success. Wow, look at that. But listen, if the Lord is not in it, no matter how impressive that might look from our perspective, from God's perspective, and that's the perspective that counts, wouldn't you agree? It's vanity. It's empty. It's vain. My brother and sister in Christ, it is so very, very important that we depend upon God in all of those building seasons in life. It's so important that we seek Him about every step that we take. Depend upon Him. Include Him. Get your lead from Him. Seek to work and accomplish that for Him. Work hard at building under His leadership. Now, there are two extremes to avoid. There's this one extreme that says, you know, hey, take it all into your own hands. Use all your energy, your talent, your resources. Go for it. Work hard. Don't worry about the Lord. That's vanity. But then the other extreme is that you don't do anything, and you just sort of wait around for the Lord to do everything. You know, the Lord doesn't build houses the way Mary Poppins cleaned the house in that one scene. You remember. It's not this magical everything comes together. You are to work hard in coordination and cooperation with God. being submissive in everything, bathing everything in prayer. It's been said, and I love this, no prayer without work. No work without prayer. That is the balance that we need to maintain in any area of our life. You know, this really is a caution against self-reliant arrogance. The idea that I'm going to build this thing. Look what I'm going to do. Look at me. In fact, one of the biggest building projects in all of human history is recorded in Genesis chapter 11. Do you remember that story? After the flood, the earth is being repopulated. God told the people who had camped out on the plains of Shinar, you're to go out. You're to scatter and repopulate the earth. And you remember, they decided, we're going to stay on this plain right where we are, and we're going to build this tower, the Tower of Babel. And it was pride. It was arrogance. In fact, in Genesis 11, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. See, that's let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build. The Lord stopped that, didn't he? And any kind of building like that, no matter how impressive it might look, it's empty. It's vain. If you're a Christian man or woman, no matter what you build, you need to be dependent upon your Lord. Humble before him, including him. Now, for the life of me, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want God's help in building. I mean, he's an awesome builder. He created the universe in how many days? 6 days. I've always found it interesting that Jesus, the Son of God, come to earth, spent most of his life on planet Earth working as a what? A carpenter, building stuff. God loves to build stuff. God is so creative. We're told in Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Our God is a builder. Let him build. In all of the things that you're putting your hands to build, let him build. Enjoy him. You know, I'll tell you, when the Lord is directing your building projects, he will add that supernatural touch that you could never produce. He adds resources. You know, God has a lot more connections than you do. And he can just lead you in marvelous, marvelous ways. I've always loved the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those teenagers? They're taken captive to Babylon. They're put in this school. There's a competition among all the students from all over the world to who's going to be the top dogs in the administration of King Nebuchadnezzar. And you remember, they were feeding all the students this rich food, these meats, these wines. And remember, our four teenagers, they went to their supervisor and said, look, we're not going to eat of that. We can't eat of that. Just give us water and vegetables. And the supervisor, of course, went, but you're going to look so much worse than everyone else, and they're going to get mad at me. And Daniel said, give us 2 weeks. Just give us 2 weeks. Give us a try. And for 2 weeks, they ate different than everyone else, water and vegetables. And after 2 weeks, they were the strongest, healthiest, best-looking men in the court. God's touch, God's enablement. Let him build. You know, I was thinking the other day about our tent years. You know, many years ago when we moved to this property, the goal was to just simply turn that gin into our meeting place. It'll be so easy, turnkey. We'll be able to meet, and we would meet in a tent for a little while we did it. Well, there was a beautiful couple at our church that donated us a tent. It was this blue inflatable tent. And we literally tried to make that work. It would collapse. We built PVC frame under it. The sun melted it. It collapsed. We had metal frames that we welded together and put this tent on top of it. And we're going to meet in that tent. The Friday after it was all done, we're going to have our first Sunday morning here at this property. We've left our old property. We don't have a home. This is our home. That Friday before that Sunday service, I was sitting on that porch. And the way I tell the story, it happened just like this. I watched a little dirt devil windstorm come up the street, hang a right into our parking lot, and went right for that blue tent and ripped it to shreds. Just took it out. That's where we're going to meet. Sunday, we just put up chairs in the gym. We had no idea what we were going to do. We had worked so hard. We had prayed. And then there was a dear brother in the Lord who knew a lot about tents. In fact, he was the owner of Tents and Events. And he had heard about what we were going to do. And that next day after he found out, he sent a crew and they built what I like to call the supernatural tent. This beautiful, beautiful tent. And I call it supernatural because it lasted 4 years. We met in that tent for 4 years. And then eventually we were able to get into a building. And that was miraculous. Nobody could have came up with that. And I'll tell you what, the tent years were tough, but they're special. The supernatural hand of God upon a little church trying to make it happen. Man, if the Lord builds, if you allow him into every area of your life like that, you get that piece of the story that you could never produce. And I'll tell you what, if the Lord is building, he accomplishes a purpose that you never even thought of. A lot of times we go out and we think, I want to build this. I want to make this business. I want to make it happen for me. God says, no, let me help you build this business because I got some really good ideas on how I want to use that business to touch people all over the world. See, if you let him superintend, he takes you way out of your own bubble. And by the way, if you allow the Lord to superintend all of your building in life, you will be storing up treasure, not just on this planet, but in heaven, forever, as you follow him. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Let the Lord build. Work with him. Verse 1 goes on to talk about guarding. Protecting, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Okay, in those ancient times, the cities would protect themselves. They would become fortified cities. And what that means is they were surrounded by a massive wall. There were gates in the wall, guard station. Access in and out of the city through those gates was controlled. At night, those gates were shut down, locked. On top of the massive walls around the city, guards walked. There were even towers built onto the walls called watchtowers. Guards would go up into the watchtowers, and they were called watchmen. And what was their job? Look, watch, see for any incoming threat. They took lots of precautions. And of course, if the guards saw a threat, sounded alarms, Everyone got ready to defend the city. They took all of these precautions. And it was very important for them to do so. And it was very important that the watchman stayed awake. Can't fall asleep on that job. But this verse says that you can do all of that. But unless the Lord guards the city, you're toast. Doesn't matter whatever security provisions you would make. You have to rely upon the Lord. Now, there are many seasons of guarding and protecting and maintaining in life. Okay, so you've built that business in reliance upon the Lord. How do you protect it? How are you going to guard it? How are you going to maintain it? You've built that piece of property. How do you protect it? How do you guard it? How do you maintain it? You're building a church, a ministry. How do you protect it? How do you guard it? Well, I think that we need to be very responsible. I think that we should take safety precautions. I think it is very important that you buy things like insurance to protect. I think it's fine installing alarm systems. I think in bigger enterprises and corporations, you should hire a security agency. I know many Christians who have taken personal defense classes. Be careful, they're tough. And I know a lot of Christians, and I have a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ who take their Second Amendment rights very seriously. And there is nothing wrong with taking those measures. Except, Christian, you need to understand, that's not what really protects you. And I know a lot of people that get obsessed with security measures. Just obsessed. Depending upon their own protective abilities. Listen, you can do all of that, but unless the Lord guards your city, you can be attacked. So again, we have extremes that you need to avoid. There are some Christians that would say, oh, I'm not going to worry about any alarms. I'm just going to trust on the Lord and all of that. I think you should take responsible measures to protect. But then there are Christians that get so obsessed with that, they don't even think about the Lord. Listen, God never sleeps. Amen? He watches your stuff. He watches your back. Trust in Him. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Depend upon Him. You know, pray for His protection. I will tell you that I pray often. Often my prayer is, Lord, encamp your angels around this church property. Encamp your angels around our homes. Protect your people's stuff. Depend upon Him for that. He guards, He protects. You know, I will tell you that one of my consistent prayers during this whole COVID-19 mess is that God's people, their businesses, their careers, their means of making a living would be protected and guarded. And I am trusting God that if you're going through difficult times, He's going to restore all that. Hang on to Him. He guards. He protects. Hold tight. Be strong in faith. And by the way, remember, as a Christian, when you're building everything and you're doing everything with the help of the Lord, you are sending those rewards to heaven. And there's a lot more reward in heaven, and the reward in heaven is much greater than any reward here. Again, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where thieves do not break up break in and steal, where neither moth nor rust destroys. God's going to guard you. He'll protect you. He'll maintain you. Verse 2 speaks simply about enjoying life and enjoying the fruit of your labor. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. You know, the first three sentences of that verse unfortunately describe the way many, many people live, including, unfortunately, many Christians. There are a lot of people who live completely stressed out lives. They get up super early. They get out the door and away they go. And they work extra long. They go overtime. They don't have any time for family. They're always on their phones and they're texting and they're emailing, always trying to, strike a deal. Just stressed out, maxed out, workaholics, only to eat the bread of sorrows. What a vain way to live. And there are a lot of people that live like that. Wherever you might be on the economic scale, you might live like that. Blue-collar workers, people having a hard time, even wealthy. You know, there are a lot of wealthy people that work extremely hard and have everything, but they eat the bread of sorrows. They can't sleep. They don't have any time with friends. They don't enjoy family. That's a terrible way to live. Now, if you're allowing the Lord into that area, that part of your life, you'll enjoy life. He'll give you peace. It says, so he gives his beloved sleep. Isn't that cool? God wants to give you a good night's sleep. God wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace. And the Hebrew could even say this, if the Lord is in your daily working, he adds to your resources and your life even while you sleep. That's awesome. God blesses that. Let him be a part of that. Now let's talk about hard work for a moment. We are, the Bible commands that we are to be hard workers. And again, avoid extremes. Some would take verse 2 and say, hey, listen, if you get up early and stay out late and, put in overtime, well, then you're not trusting God. You're a workaholic. Blah, blah, blah. Christians should never work that hard. Listen, no. There are seasons in life when we are to work hard. You got to get up early. You got to pull in overtime. You got to work, work, work. But if the Lord's involved, you'll do it in his energy. He will give you peace. He will make you fruitful. And he will bring seasons of rest. He will. Don't use verse 2 as an excuse to be lazy. However, there are many Christians who, is it possible, work too hard? They're too stressed. They can't shut it down. Take this to heart. One Christian author said, when you're burning the candle at both ends, sometimes you need to ask the Lord for more wax. But sometimes you also need to slow down and trust God to provide for you. Working harder is not always the answer. Trusting God is. Eugene Peterson says, don't work like the devil. Work like a believer. Work like a child of God. Trust God to meet your needs. God wants you to work and to work hard, but he also wants to give you rest. God grants sleep to those he loves. Psalm 127 makes it real simple. Work hard, finish your day, trust God, and go to sleep. I love that. Some of us need to trust God in that area of our life. Depend upon him. He can make that happen where you work hard, but you still enjoy life, and you enjoy your family, and you enjoy friends. Book of Ecclesiastes says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. That's a gift of God. Beautiful. Depend upon God in your building. Depend upon God in your protecting. Depend upon God in your living and working in everyday life. And there's one more area that I think we all need to be depending upon God, and this is probably the most important area in all of our lives. There's another way that you could apply verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house. Another way to apply building the house is building a home, a family, a marriage. And I will tell you right now, that's probably the most important area in our lives. That's what influences you the most. That's what influences your children the most. That family unit. It's Mother's Day. We're celebrating moms. We're celebrating family. And we need to depend upon God for the building of our families. Verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Children are not inconveniences. Children are not accidents. Children are not random byproducts of romantic love. Children are gifts from the Lord. They're a heritage. They're your reward. If you're a parent, you're blessed. Oh, how happy. And it indicates here, the more the merrier, the more kids, the happier you should be. Do you agree with that? It can be tough at times, can't it? For those of us who are parents, no matter what age your children are, I know that you want them to be the absolute best that they can be. You want them to love God and to be responsible men and women when they grow up. But that can be very difficult to train children. It's scary. It's tough. We need to depend upon the Lord for that big time. I'll tell you, I remember when Kim was pregnant with Lindsay, our firstborn, and we took this little Christian parenting class. And we were with all these other couples, and everybody's expecting their first child, and we're learning how to parent. We're going to be good Christian parents. We're taking this class. Okay. We took the class. Lindsay came along. Big problem. She didn't cooperate with the class. She didn't cooperate with all of the material that we had learned. And then Connor comes along. He didn't cooperate either. And then Dylan. No, he didn't cooperate at all with the instruction book. And it was very discouraging. Author Charlie Shedd said that when he was in his 20s, he wrote a book entitled How to Raise Your Children. When he was in his 30s and had a child, he wrote a book entitled Some Suggestions for Parents. Later on, when his second child came, he wrote Feeble Hints to Fellow Strugglers. And by the time his third child was growing up, his final pamphlet was entitled, Anybody Here Got a Few Words of Wisdom? You know, there are good Christian parenting materials. There are awesome books, and there's lots of awesome advice you can get from experienced Christian parents. And we also have the Word of God that teaches us how to parent. But come on, let's be honest. A lot of that is very general. It's very general. Raise up your children in the ways of the Lord. Discipline. Those are general principles. You got to get into the specific of each child. They're different personalities. Different styles of discipline work with different styles of kids. Different ways of connecting with children. Every child has a different personality. And so I will tell you, there is no easy answer. There's no quick fix. There's no book that you can read and check off. You have got to depend upon God in raising each one of your individual children. Day by day, praying for them. Seeking the Lord for each one. Let him build. Let him give you insight. Let the Lord show you how to carry out those biblical instructions in the life of your children. Depend upon the Lord for your kids when they're young, as they're older, maybe they're all grown up and gone. Keep depending upon God for them. Seeking the Lord on how you might minister to them. Build your marriage in the help of the Lord. Again, lots of classes, lots of Christian counseling out there, and a lot of good principles in the scripture, but again, very general. They need to be fine-tuned and specific. Husband, you better seek the Lord on how to be that husband. And how to connect with your wife in the way that works. Vice versa. We must depend upon the Lord to build our families. No matter what our families look like. Maybe you have a blended family. Man, you need the Lord's help in that. Maybe you're single and you want to get married one day. Let me tell you right now. Date believers. Date those who know Jesus Christ and love him and serve him. Do that right now. God's will is that you would meet someone who knows him and loves him like you do, so that you're on the same page together. Be the best aunt you could be, the best uncle, the best dad, the best mom, the best brother, the best sister, the best grandma. Be the best son, be the best daughter. Let the Lord build your home, your family. Let him touch your building, your guarding, your protecting, your living, your working, your family. Oh, please, Christian, don't compartmentalize your life. There are lots of Christians, they have their Christian part of life and their secular part of life. God, you can touch this part of life. This is church. But I'm going to do the work thing myself. No, don't do that. Let his touch be upon every area of your life. He'll add that beauty. He'll add that protective measure, that safety, that blessing. I remind you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let the Lord be in control. Now, the most important touch that God can have upon a person's life is the touch of salvation. Salvation. Maybe you're listening and you're thinking, boy, I'd like to have God be the builder in charge of everything. But listen, first of all, you need to have the touch of God upon your life for salvation. You need to let him become your heavenly Father. See, the Bible teaches that the problem with the human race and everything is sin. We are sinners. We've sinned against him. Sin separates us from God, who is holy. We need to be saved from that first. You become a member of God's family by allowing him to save you. And he's made it possible for you to be saved, to be forgiven of all your sins. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, to take our place on the cross, to take our punishment. And I'm telling you, if you will admit that you need him, if you will invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, he will come into your life and he will touch you with salvation. And all of your sins will be forgiven and you'll be right with him and you'll become a member of his family forever. And you'll have his protective care and his touch upon every area of your life. I invite you, receive him right now. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes right there in your home. Just get rid of all the distraction. Maybe things are happening around you right now. I want you to think upon the Lord right now. First of all, my brother, sister in Christ, are you keeping things from God? Are there areas in your life that you're keeping away from him? Maybe it's your dating, your work, different activities. Give him every area. Trust him with every area you can. Give that area to him right now. Now, I would also like to lead you in a prayer if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never asked him to be your Savior, if you never understood that he died for you, he paid the price for you, he can save you, he can touch you, you can be right with God. Receive him right now. And it's a prayer of faith. Lord Jesus, I receive you by faith. Save me. Touch my life. Thank you for paying the price on that cross for me. Be my Lord, be my Savior, take over. Lord, take the messes of my life and make them beautiful. Turn it around like only you can do. Thank you, Lord. Build our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's